name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus has just returned from his jaunt across the Sea of Galilee, where he calmed the wind and the waves with the voice of his command, and where he had cast out that legion of demons from the Gentile man in Gentile territory. And again, the crowds are pressed in upon him. There is no rest. There is no peace. There is no time of solace for Jesus. The time is short, and the hour approaches when he must ascend upon the cross for the salvation of the world. He must work while it is still day. And in his return, two very different people, two desperate people, who come to him as their only hope. In this way, these two people are not unlike Jesus' disciples, even though they have not been his followers. They're very much like his disciples, who came to him and cried to him in desperation on the sea, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jairus and the woman with the emission of blood could not be more different from one another. The sharp contrast between their social standing is clear in the very fact that I must say Jairus and the woman with the emission of blood. St. Mark knows the name of Jairus. He does not know her name. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. That is to say that he is a religious man, a Pharisee, no doubt, a pillar of the community. He had respect and honor. He was known by all, and he was the sort of person that you clamored to have eating at your table. He was the sort of man that you always hoped to be seen with, hoping in the back of your mind that some of his honor would rub off on you. And there can be little doubt that his personal wealth was enviable to most. He was a fortunate man. The woman, on the other hand, not so fortunate. For 12 years she had suffered with an emission of blood, and no doctor could help her. She had spent all of her money on their futile efforts and quackery. If she tried to sit at your table, you'd drive her away. Drive her out of your house. To even touch her would make you ceremonially unclean. We have the great and we have the lowly. But both the great and the lowly find themselves face in the dust before the feet of Jesus, both driven by desperation to the only one whom they hoped could help. Jairus had much to lose by going to Jesus, especially by presenting himself as a supplicant at his feet. As a ruler in that party so opposed to Jesus, who feared that Jesus challenged their treasured traditions and customs, he could lose everything. His honor and prestige, his position in the synagogue, even his wealth, his social network. But his daughter was sick. Sick to the point of death. And being a father who loved his daughter, and you fathers know this all too well, he would leave it all for her sake. And so when the news that Jesus had returned made its way back to him, he immediately went out to find him. He had heard Jesus' teaching. He had heard about his miracles. He probably was among those who in hardness of heart opposed him at the synagogue. But the acute storm of his daughter's sickness broke his hardness of heart, and he fled to the only one who he thought might have the power to save her. Jairus went out to find the Lord, and when he did, he humbled himself and took the position of a supplicant. He fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus, in this act of faith, forgives Jairus. humble and feared in the face of his mercy. But while their faith had been a weak and faithless kind of faith, hers was not. And so while Jesus saved them and then rebuked the disciples, to her he does no such thing. He does not cast her down for her impudence. He does not rebuke her for the audacity with which she reached out to him in faith. Instead, he held her, even her, up as an example of faith for the entire crowd gathered around, and most specifically for Jairus, whose faith would be tested most acutely. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And Jesus' pronouncement is more about her physical healing or her ceremonial cleansing. But included with it is the true cleansing of the heart. For the Greek does not literally say, "Your faith has made you well," but says, "Your faith has saved you." She is cleansed not just of her own blood, but by the blood which Christ had come to spill on the cross. Now, while Jesus was pressed by the crowds and busy with the woman, that which Jairus feared most came to pass. While Jesus was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" You can imagine them come to Jairus somewhat quietly to the side, breaking the news to him about his daughter's death. "Come, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher any further. Let us go and mourn." But having just healed the woman, with her faith standing as an example, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, he turned to Jairus and said, "Do not fear. Only believe." Implicit in Jesus' words, of course, are the promise that "I have power even over death." Now at Jairus' home, as was customary in those days, there were professional mourners there. Just as you would find in any house of anyone with means, they had paid for some people to come and mourn and play the lute and cry and wail over the death of his daughter. This is why they have a levity of heart to laugh about a matter which is not at all a laughing matter. To them, this notion that Jesus could raise the dead was so absurd. Sure, Jesus had performed wonders that were hard to explain, but to raise the dead to them was literally laughable. Having come to Jairus' home and sending out all but Jairus, the girl's mother, and the two disciples whom he brought along with him, Jesus again does something unthinkable. He takes the girl's hand. The shock of this is lost on us who live in a culture and a time so very different from theirs. But imagine the shock that must have come over Jairus. Under the Old Testament law, to touch the dead made you ceremonially, ritually unclean. Jairus, being a ruler of the synagogue, would have been more acutely aware of this than most. So then, for a teacher, a rabbi, to take the hand of one who had just died must have caused Jairus's guts to leap in surprise and maybe with a twinge of horror as this taboo was broken. But that shock which comes from the violation of a taboo must certainly have been overcome by the shock of joy which followed. Tenderly taking the young girl's hand, the Lord Jesus calls to her, issuing her a dear command, "Tabitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up. It was not like Elijah who had raised the widow's son, who had cast himself three times upon the young boy and cried, O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again. No. With a simple word of command, Tabitha Kumi, she arose. Who then is this that the wind and the waves and even the dead must obey? It can be none other than the living God himself. What should we take from these two miracles that Jesus performed upon returning from the sea? First, we see Jesus' compassion for both the great and for the small, for the rich and for the poor, for the esteemed and the despised. He had compassion on both the woman and Jairus. Because no matter our station or position in life before the Lord, who is the giver of every good thing, we are beggars who must receive everything in faith. Second, we see the way in which the law works, not just according to its accusing word, but also according to its consequences in the life of man. How it drives us to Christ as the only one who can help us. And in so doing, when we turn to Christ, we find a Savior greater than we asked for. The woman's faith not only gave her physical healing, but salvation. And Jairus' daughter's fever not only broke, but she was raised. Third, we see Jesus' power, of course. That which the doctors could not heal, whether it was the woman who suffered for 12 years or the 12-year-old girl who had died, Jesus, the great physician, could heal. He had the power to heal. But beyond the physical healing, we see more. Because the physical was an expression, a manifestation of the spiritual. With both the woman and Jairus' daughter, we see the theme of ceremonial uncleanness, which of course should make us think of the true uncleanness of sin which stains us both soul and body. You know this, whether you are cleaning a car, a floor, or a pot. When you clean something that is dirty, when you touch it, it makes you dirty. But not so with Jesus. That is the reasoning behind the ceremonial law. When you touch something that is spiritually dirty, most of all, blood or death, it makes you unclean. But this is not so for Jesus. For he is so clean, he is so holy, that when he touches something that is unclean, it becomes clean. And so when both the woman and the daughter touch and are touched by Jesus, they are cleansed not just from their ailment, not just from their ceremonial uncleanness, but from their spiritual uncleanness of sin. So that Jesus can not only say that you have been made well, but you have been saved. And finally, we see the purpose of the incarnation, of the enfleshment of God in the person of Jesus. It makes God accessible to man. It makes him accessible so that the woman in faith could reach out in faith and touch the hem of his garment and be saved. And I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, if the woman was saved by touching the hem of his garment, how much greater is your salvation? You who are not given a piece of Jesus' clothing, but clothed fully in his righteousness and holy baptism. You who not only touch the hem of his garment, but are given the very body and the very blood of the incarnate God upon the altar, invited to his table, not simply to touch him, but to receive him into yourself in the Holy Communion, accompanied by the word of his power that your sins are forgiven. You are cleansed. You are made clean. Your resurrection is assured. The Lord Jesus gives himself to you in a way which is far superior even to that which he gave to Jairus' daughter and the woman. Praise be to him who comes to cleanse us and heal us and save us, body and soul. Amen.